Well, here we are at the beginning of June. Our summer series is starting this coming week. I know my daughter is very biased about our speaker for this Wednesday. Matt Vega will be with us, but looking forward to the summer. It's going to be really good having these different speakers coming to town on Wednesday nights where we get to be together. Give us a chance to invite people to come and listen to some speakers we normally don't get to hear, ones that aren't part of our congregation here, but ones that are traveling in town or ones that are close by or maybe coming back home to come and speak. So I'm looking forward to this summer. It's going to be good. Also, something for us to think about right now. Our missions minister is, he's in Pennsylvania. We support a work in Pennsylvania, a couple of churches there. The Antioch Initiative, that's something that Don Myers, some of you are very familiar with him over at Faulkner University, but also a preacher at Elmore. He started up the Antioch Initiative, planting churches in counties in Pennsylvania that have no churches. And so Giff and Simba are on the way, or they're there now, visiting with the churches and the ministers there and getting to be a part of them. But they're also going to take the opportunity to go over to New York to visit the Scalibas that, if you're familiar with that work, I know John talked about that a little bit, that they were here. They came to the States because of some persecution, and they are residing in New York, and so Giff and Simba are going to go over and encourage them and have a chance to pray with them and let them know that we're praying so they can see somebody face to face. Reminds me a lot of things that Paul would say to the churches. So he'd write them, he said, I wish to be with you. I wish to spend a little bit of time and to pray with you and to lift you up to the Lord. And so what a great opportunity that is that we get to encourage people. Maybe we personally don't get to go, but knowing that we have some men that are taking up that challenge and following through with some of the things that we support and that we are aware of and things that we don't even realize need to be done and things like that are very encouraging. So there's a lot of great works that are going on, and I want to put those before us before we begin our lesson. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come here to worship you, to lift you up and extol you. You are the great and mighty God. Father, I pray that you will be with the things that we've mentioned so far in various ways that we prayed about today and that we've mentioned to one another, maybe even in private conversations, that you will help us to build one another up and to encourage one another as a church. Please be with our efforts that we're working on this summer. A lot of great opportunities that are coming up. Help us to share your words and to reach out to people that may not know you. Father, I pray that you will be with Giff and Simba as they are traveling, but I pray you'll be with the works that we support, that you'll help those ministers. You'll help your word go into all parts of the world. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us just to be aware of what great things your word is doing all across the world. Help us to be a part of that as we take your word and share it as well. Be with us as we study your word today. Help us to write on our hearts and share it with others. We love you and we thank you. And we pray this to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you're aware of, VBS is right around the corner. It's something that has come up really quick on us. And it's here. And it's an excellent opportunity for us to be able to teach God's word in some different ways. It's always enjoyable when we have the kids that come here. And they come in one day and they come in the next and they realize the place has changed and new decorations that are up, and it's a way for them just to see something new, see something different, and to be able to learn God's word. But the theme and what we're going to be focusing on for VBS is, I think, something that can challenge us, not just for one week or just a couple of classes, but maybe can be an ongoing idea that's going to set before our mind really considering God's might. When you think about God's might, what comes to your mind? It might be God's dynamite, and we might really solidify that for you next week, considering that. But if you think about just God's might, what kind of illustration, what things come to your mind? Is it a specific moment that you have experienced personally? Maybe it's a certain word of God, a certain scripture that sticks out to you. Maybe it's someone you're close to that you just think God's done some great and mighty things for them. Maybe you think about the church. Think about how great God is because of what he has done. And it drives us into a room together today that we extol God for how great he really is. Maybe think about stories in the Old Testament. Maybe think about stories in the scriptures, things that we don't even know of, things that are happening all across the world. What comes to your mind? What do you really consider when you think about God's might? And what I want to go on an adventure to discover today is, can we understand God's might? Can we really wrap our minds around it and our hearts set to it? And what can we do with it? You know, we're presented some awesome opportunities over the next month to do something with God's Word. I've enjoyed the year that we've had so far. We're halfway through. We're in June already. And you think about some of the great lessons that have challenged us to really consider, what will we do with our faith? What will we do with God? What will we do with what we know and what we believe? Last month was so encouraging. It's encouraging, but it also made us step away and think, what have I been doing? And so we approached topics of God's Word in various ways just so far. I mean, every time we get together to study, whether it's in Bible class, whether it's in a group discussion, whether it's in worship, whatever it may be, that we're considering God's Word and we're trying to think, how can I live this out? How can God's Word really impact my life instead of me just coming to a knowledge of it and just having, you know, the facts in my mind? What can it actually do for me? Or what can I do with it alongside of me? So I want to go on a study today as we think about God's might. And I want to think about, where do we find it? As I pose a couple of different options for us, maybe that's where you find God's might. As we're going to be looking at next week, considering God's might, there's a couple of things that may come to your mind. If you think about creation, the very beginning of all things, the fact that what we see around us and what we have was brought into existence by the mere breath of God with words upon it. God said it, and it happened. I think it's an excellent display of God's might that He was able to create everything around us by speaking it into existence, forming and fashioning everything that we see and everything that we know. It all stems from God. What a beautiful illustration of God's might. And so maybe we find God's might in creation. Maybe you look around and you see everything that He has pieced together and you think, how great and how wonderful. The psalmist tells us that the heavens declare the wonder and the works of God. He is great and mighty and we can see it around us, but do we really even understand that? Maybe we dig in a little bit more and we go to the Scriptures and we think, I just need to learn from others. From the beginning, the initial inception of the world around us and everything that we know, even our mere existence, what have people done from that point on? We have so many stories that are just in our Scriptures, and even things that we don't know about other characters that existed on the timeline of life, that they knew so many things about God's will, and maybe many of them didn't, and they learned it over time. It's so encouraging when you go back and you read some of these stories that maybe you're not familiar with. One of them that we're going to be looking at next week is Korah's Rebellion. And we read it and we think, wow, God's might was really there. The fact that He could open up the ground. And we look at that and we think, wow, that was really powerful. But you also have to get the full story of, why did God do that? You see, there's been a lot of people throughout time, and I think even in our time right now, we can look around and we can see consequences or results of when we don't really take God's might into consideration. Maybe we have to go back to the Old Testament. We have to go back to the Scriptures and find an illustration that paints it very vividly for us that God is living and He is active and He has done things before. So maybe we find God's might by looking at those Old Testament stories. Maybe we find it in the ministry of Jesus. When's the last time that you sat down and you read the gospel accounts and you just thought, wow, God's hand was with Jesus wherever He went. And that was Jesus' purpose. It was to do certain things so that He may show God's hand living and active around Him. To be a part of the crowd that was on the mountainside just to hear the Word of God spoken through His Son, Jesus. You may think, wow, that was mighty. That was powerful. Many others did. You look at the conclusion of some of Jesus' main statements that He would make to people, and their response was, He spoke with authority. He prayed with authority. He said things that I've never heard before. wow, God's mind is with him. But then it wasn't just the word itself. Jesus would do things. He would heal people. He'd reach out and he would have someone to outstretch their arm. He would heal them of their blindness. He would allow them to walk, whatever that may be. And you think, wow, God's power is really with Jesus that he was able to do things like this, because no man have I ever seen do something like that. Even the ones that claimed that they could, it was nothing in comparison to the works of Jesus. The light shining in the darkness, as John says in John chapter 1. So maybe we find God's might in the ministry of Jesus. But it extends even further outside of Jesus. When Jesus leaves and he's preparing for his departure, he tells the apostles, you see the works that I'm going to do, that I have done? You haven't seen anything yet. Isn't it fascinating that Jesus empowered, God empowered the apostles to pick up where he left off? I mean, you go and you look at the Acts of the church, you go to the Acts of the Apostles, you go to the book of Acts, starting in chapter 1, as Luke is finishing up volume 1, his gospel account, he goes into the book of Acts and he says, I've already written to you all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. Began. He is not finished. That's what's so great about the church that we read about in the book of Acts, is that they continue doing what Jesus did. Many of them had the opportunity to even do miracles like Jesus did, but majority of them did not. They spoke God's word, and that was sufficient. It brought about God's might and God's power because they were able to connect things. They were able to bring things in and they show how powerful God was with what they had. Part of it was their life. Part of it was what was done for them and what they did. So maybe when we think, where do we find God's might? You may go to one of these categories, and maybe we can bring that out a little bit more next week. So I'd encourage you, I would challenge each one of us, find someone that you think would be interested in learning about God's might in one of these ways, and bring them to hear a lesson next week. I know it's always good that we have a lot of kids that come in. It's encouraging to see these pews filled up with kids, but there's also parents that can sit down and listen and enjoy. So maybe grab someone from work. Grab someone from school, bring them with you. Let them have the opportunity to hear some of these great lessons that maybe they can find God's might in a story like one of these. Something here that would really bring that out so that they can tie their heart to it. So can I challenge you? Can I challenge me to go next door to our neighbor and say, won't you come with me? I'll even provide the snacks. I mean, that's a good tie-in. That's something for us. It'd be very easy. Let's do something with it. So maybe this is an opportunity. I think it is. I think it's a great opportunity for us to show God's might. But even when I look at stories and I look at the Bible, I still feel like I'm missing something. Do you? I mean, we can go and we can read, you know, God's strong arm led the Israelites out of Egypt. And I can know it. But do you ever feel just kind of disconnected from it? You think that was really good 2,000 years ago. Just, I don't know, I'm missing something now. So maybe we even ask the question, what about God's might today? Is he still mighty? Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he is God. He still exists. He's never ending. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. God's never changing. But why are things a little off today? Why are there not crowds of people running in to hear God's word being spoken? Why are there still people that are struggling with sin, lost in sin, and they don't care? Why is it that it's easy for us to come together for a short moment, and then when we go back into whatever world it may be, even back in our own homes, we go back to the old way that we were, that doesn't display God's might? Why do we fall prey to things like that? What happens? Why do we think, where's God's might today? If only God would do a miracle in my face right now, I'd be a changed man. If only Jesus would step in front of me and would teach, or just step in front of me and say, I love you, my world would change. Did we miss God's might today? Did he fail to do something in front of us? Do I really understand what he's able and capable to do? You know, I think about the prayer of the church. It's one of my favorite prayers, and one that I know I've spoken on before, and a chance for us to think about in different ways. And I think about this prayer in Acts chapter 4. The beginning of the church, that they're being persecuted. They're going through a really tough time. The apostles are having a hard time in their hometown preaching the gospel. They're being beaten for it, but they don't let up. They found the true joy in following God. After that episode in Acts chapter 4, the church comes together. And they're a little upset. They're upset because they don't know what to do now. I mean, they have all the information, and they're still going to preach the word, and you're going to find that out. But something's just missing. Maybe it's missing because they're a little blinded by fear. Or maybe it's not missing at all. It's all what they're going to do with it. Look at just a part of their prayer. There's a lot more we could look at. But in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 29, it says, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats, and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." You see, the church realized something. The early church at this point, they realized something. We can't do it without God. Now they said, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and allow us to be able to speak boldly." The threats were still there. They didn't know if they were going to have the next day. They didn't know if they were going to have the next moment. The people that are in their midst right then had just come out of being beaten with the sword, the welt still on their backs. They come in and they're praying this together and they're thinking, "God, look upon their threats and allow us to preach boldly." The threats are still there. But what needed to happen was to continue to go forth regardless of what was happening around them. But then we find God's might appearing again. It's happening simultaneously. We see the church and they're saying, "While you stretch out your arm and do many mighty works." You ever get jealous of the first century church and you think, they had the spiritual gifts. They were able to do all these things that really showed the arm of God. It's just like when they were in Egypt. It's just like when the Israelites were there and Moses, with an outstretched arm of God, was able to show all these great things, and it changed the heart of Pharaoh for a moment. It changed the people of, it changed the Israelites to even get up and to go. We look maybe at times like this and we think, if only we had the same capabilities. I know sometimes I get caught up in big moments like this. I get caught up in the spiritual gift stories, and I get caught up in what the church was doing in mighty big acts like that, that they were speaking in tongues and that they were prophesying and they were healing people. And I think, if only. But sometimes those moments blind us from the small, subtle moments that really show what God's power is. You see, it wasn't just the spiritual gifts that were to be used to get people's attention, and that was it. Everything the church had in their toolbox was to be able to open up the door for God's word. What was the purpose of speaking in tongues? Was it not that the word of God could reach every dialect? What was the purpose of prophesying? Was it not to share the word of God before they had it in their laps? Why were they healing? What was the purpose of Jesus healing? Was it not to be able to show them there's something more? I mean, when Jesus fed the 5,000, when the crowd came back, he said, "You didn't come back just to hear the word. You came back to be fed." Some of them responded in the wrong way, but it was always to open the door for God's word. It's God's word that provides the might. So let's see if we can find it a little bit more. What is God's might? I've already shown the hand, and God has as well. It's what he's able to do. Now, I know when we think about God's word, we do think about the scriptures. We think about this book and everything that it tells us. But how in the world can one book, pages just printed ink, change us? What power does this have above any other book, any other piece of wisdom, literature, any other piece of text that we may find in the world? What makes this different. If you ask Paul, he would tell us something in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13, says, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the words of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." He didn't say it's the spiritual gift, the speaking in tongues that's at work within you. It's not the great big signs and wonders and miracles that are at work within you. He says, "I thank God constantly that the word of God is at work in you believers." Not the word of men that falls short. Not the work of men that is limited, but the word of God that is unlimited. In verse 14, "For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out, and displeased God, and opposed all mankind." He said, you're not that much different, Thessalonians. You're in a whole other region, a whole other cultural background, but you're not that different. You're still suffering from your countrymen. There's still people around you that don't want to listen. There's still people around you, but you came out of the midst of darkness. You came out of your world, and you have come into the world of God. Because the word of God led them out. Verse 16, "By hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fulfill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them at last." He said, look, there's going to be people that won't listen. There's going to be people that oppose us. God will handle that. But what we have in our hands and what we must handle is the word of God that is able to save souls, that is able to redeem, that is able to lead us to a knowledge of truth. So let's bring what God's definition of might, his word, and let's put it back into our question of what about God's might today? How can we take this word and change the world around us? I want to look at Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 20. You find a similar statement that the Thessalonians even faced. In verse 20, look at this. "So the word to increase and prevail mightily." Now, we're at the end of a story. We're going to backtrack just a little bit to get a little bit of context of what's happening in Ephesus, but I want us to focus on the end. That's what's good about the word of God. We can flip over and we can see the end, and then we can go and read it and we can know what's going to happen. Hold in your mind verse 20. "So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily." Now, where did we get to in this passage? If you look back in verse 11, "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had not touched that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them." We stop there and we think, that's typical, right? That's how the church was getting their attention. That's all the things they were doing. Paul was just having a good time. Because of what the Lord is able to do. The fact that Paul is able to go around and just a handkerchief is able to heal people kind of reminds me of another story where Peter's walking around in just his shadow. I mean, it's amazing what all was going on with the hand of God in these people's lives. And the story continues on, and you kind of have this battle that goes on behind the scenes is what it really is, that there's some Jews, and they see the power of God in the disciples, and they're wanting some of it, and they're trying to cast out demons. And the demon responds back to the Jews that are trying to do these things, and look at what they say in verse 15. "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? Who are you to think that you can do things like this?" The demons realize, doesn't James talk about that in James chapter 2? Even the demons believe and shudder. There's no pretending. There's no trying to do it without the word of God. You see, that's an example that the Jews, they tried that in this moment. They tried to do everything without God. It didn't happen. But the story goes on, and this is where I want to draw some conclusions for us. In verse 17, after this episode of the demon possession, in verse 17 it says, in this story, this account, as it's happening in them, and this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, the whole city, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magical arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. Verse 20. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Did you catch what's going on here? Yes, Paul opened the door. Yes, even the episode with the demons opened the door, but it was God's word that fully brought it out. You know, even though we look at stories like this, we run into some challenges. I think one of the challenges that we run into is understanding the nature of man. As you look across people that profess Christianity, some very pervasive thoughts that are out there. And ones that I think challenge the very essence of God. I think one of the things that we face because of our stance, a true scriptural stance, is understanding the nature of man. We look back at the beginning and we think God created man good. But what happened? Man chose what was evil. Man chose what was evil. Many will come in and they'll say, well, after that fact, after Genesis chapter 3, the nature of man changed. No longer is he able to reason fully. No way is he able to see things completely. No way is he able to understand God's word fully and truly for what it is, that he has to have something else. But I don't think that that mixes with what the scriptures actually say. You see, you read the teachings of Paul and he tells us you can know God's word. You can know the prophecies that connect to Jesus. You see, because of our stance that we don't believe in original sin, that we believe that we can understand what God has done, maybe people look at us in the church and they think, you don't understand God's might. You see, because you have to have God's might that changes your mind. You have to have God's might that changes your heart. He's got to do something in you because you can't do it yourself. Does that put us in a bind with God's might? Does that put too much pressure on us? Does that put too much responsibility on us? And especially as we teach other people that, is it expecting too much out of our world that we have to make decisions to serve God? And I think back in Acts chapter 2 when Peter was preaching and after they said, hey, what must we do? Peter responds back to them. He says, save yourselves from this crooked and twisted generation. Now the responsibility is on us, but God's word still holds the power. So maybe it's our understanding of the nature of man that puts us in a bind that we think we can do everything. But what we have to realize is that God is expecting so much out of us. But it still challenges us then. Why do we choose sin? I mean, you think back on yesterday, on last week. Did you step away and you think, why did I do that? Why did I open my mouth and say that? Why did I go there? Why did I touch that? Why did I spend my time there? Why did I spend my money on that? Why did I do this? Why did I do that? We still ask the question, why do we keep sinning? Wouldn't it be easier if God would just fight all of our battles for us, that he would make every decision plain and simple and that would be it? We realize daily that we have to make a decision. We realize daily that we choose sin. And why? Wouldn't it be easier if God's word would just make all the decisions for us and I just got to go along passively, turn on cruise control, sit back, and just let it happen? But think back in Acts chapter 19. Think about how God's word was happening. What was going on? What were the people doing? They realized as they looked at everything that was going on around them, I am not doing what I should be doing. Those that had believed, now that was just stopped short of belief. They understood there was something more behind the scenes about Jesus. look at what they did. They came confessing and divulging their practices. There was a realization. I need to do something. If God is so great and so mighty, and He expects so much out of me, maybe I need the change. You see, it's not on me. That's all on God of fulfilling what He's able to do. But maybe another challenge that we face is because of our stance on salvation. Has anyone ever accused you of teaching a salvation based on works? I mean, it's almost a progression of where we talk about, you know, the nature of man that puts a lot of responsibility on us. Then we start talking about, well, God does have an expectation of us. Yes, Jesus is that free gift because of God's great love. It's a free gift that we have to find. I go back to Acts chapter 19 and I think they had to search for it. I mean, it was in front of them and it was obvious, but they had to go further. They had to figure out what exactly was God wanting out of me. You see, it would have been easy for these people just to have believed. And they said, oh, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. But what does that belief of just understanding that Jesus is the Son of God, how did that result in them confessing and divulging practices? And that's not a logical conclusion. There had to be something else that was going on. Look at any other account in the book of Acts. Why did people make the decisions that they did? Because somebody had to teach them. There had to be something else. But we realize in a story like this that although they were giving up their practices, they were burning their books, and they were doing all this, they still needed God to save them. Maybe we ask the question, can God save me? Now, logically, and with Scripture, I can show you that, yes, God can save me. He can forgive me of my sins. I can show you exactly what to do. I can take you to Acts chapter 2. I can take you all through the book of Acts, and I can show you conversion after conversion that's going to really teach me that God can save me. But do we believe that? So let's check up on it and let us think. If we say, yes, God can save me, do you still feel guilty for what you've done? For those of us in this room that have made the decision to be in Christ, to have our sins washed away, pay attention, to have our sins washed away, do we still look back on our practices and we want to hold on to them just a little bit? It's easy to do. I think it's a great tool to limit us on what we're able to do. We think, I know that God is great and God is mighty, but do you understand what I've done? Where I've been? What kind of life I used to live? What if I'd go and try and teach somebody? What if they hold that against me? Those kind of thoughts rise up in us all the time, and does that really question or make us question if God can really save me? We understand it. We can go to the book, chapter, and verse, and we can make the decision to follow in those steps, and we can be united with Christ in a watery grave of baptism. But then we rise up, although in a newness of life as we're supposed to be, we go back and we look at what we used to do, and we allow that to limit us where we're not able to show God's might anymore. Imagine if the Israelites did the same thing. They came out of Egypt, and they said, I would like to go back. They did, actually. That's actually one of the things that they said. And they limited God's power on what He was able to do for them because they wanted to go back to Egypt instead of allowing God to work right in them. Maybe when we ask this question or understand salvation, do we really understand it? That's God's might and power in our lives, that He's able to take that sin and remove it where we don't have to hold on to it. We get to go into the world and we say, you know what? I did have those practices. I confess to you that I used to do things like that, but I burned the books. I've counted the cost. And it's nothing in comparison to what God has done for me. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. God doesn't care where you've been. What He cares about is where you are, and if it's in Christ. So that's the only way He's going to be able to help us, is in Jesus, where our sins are forgiven. That extends even further, and we think, well, I continue to teach. What if I take this word of God, and I go into my home, and I tell my wife, I tell my children, I need to make some changes. We need to do things a little different. What if we stand up and we tell our friends around us, we say to one another, we're not doing what the Lord has asked us to do. We look at the church at Dalreda and we think there's more that we can do. There's more that we can do to show God's might, to allow that to go into the world, to save lives, to save ourselves from this crooked and twisted generation. What can we do? We have to teach. We talk about it as doctrine, the teachings of God. But I think sometimes we may be a little ashamed of it, because it's going to cause us to take a stance. You see, that's what God's might is doing in our lives. It calls us to make a stance, to make a decision to do things differently. I realize that there are people around us that believe in God, that want to follow the Bible, and they think that they are, but they're not. Are we willing to tell them? See, because we want to respond back to God's word. We're like, what if they disagreed? There have always been people that disagree with God's word. There's always been those people. You look back in Acts chapter 19 and you've got the Jews. You've got people in this scenario that just don't quite understand what needs to be done. And they're shamed. They're sent out because they don't understand. But God's word still must prevail. And finally, we think about our life of faith. God calls us to act in faith, to go and do God's will. But where we run into a problem is, what if I look strange? What if I'm not the same husband I was anymore? What if I'm not the same wife, the same child, the same coworker? What if God's word really does something in my life? Then I think that we've understood God's might. This should cause us to go into the world. The last thing that Paul says, as he finishes up his book, he says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it." See, God's might is able to change every part of our life, if we'll let it. God's word is able to change every part of our life if we'll let it. He's able to change our world, our families, our friendships, our homes, our workplaces, our schools, even our church. If only we will let it be done. So I ask the question, do you see God's might? Have you been missing it? Has your life been inadequate? Has it been missing something that you need something more? Has that sin just been plaguing you? Has it still been holding on? Have you still been holding on to it? It's time to cast it all to the side. What will we do with God? What will we do with what He has done for us? What can God's will be in our lives? If we can help you, please come as we stand, as we sing.